like to just let you know that Trinity is a big place. There's always a lot going on, and so the best way to find out about things is our various forms of communication. Please read your bulletin, go to our website, follow us on social media, all of those things. And if everyone here this morning would take the opportunity to fill out the connection card that was handed in your bulletin, and there's something that you want to know more information about, you can check it off there, and we'll be in touch with you about it. But if you're here all the time, just your name and email address will do. And if you're here for the first time, as much information as you are comfortable providing so that we might get to know you and help you get to know us, it sure would be appreciated. I'd like to tell you quickly about this morning's mission box. You can read about it inside your bulletin, but the mission box is the extra offering that we take for another organization to help their ministry. And we have five wooden boxes that you see as you leave today. There was a table outside by our Welcome Center, and the mission box goes to support Rwanda Sustainable Families. And Bonnie and Jennifer are here representing that ministry this morning, and just encourage you to stop by their table and visit, say hello, give them a warm Trinity welcome, and then just ask them about their ministry and find out more information that way. And I wanted to point your attention to this painting that you see on this easel here this morning. This is a painting that was commissioned by our church for our theme this year, which is Deeper. And we are beginning a new worship series today on that. But this is by an artist by name of Timothy Bach. And you'll be seeing this throughout the coming months. But here at Trinity, we want to go deeper in our faith, deeper in our relationships with one another, just playing deeper together as a church. And so this represents that initiative this morning. So please, as you leave today, take a minute and come look at it. It's really beautiful. So that being said, I'd just like to extend to you this tradition that we have here at Trinity, where we like to say, welcome home. Would you please stand and greet one another this morning?
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin our worship service together.
We praise you for the God, we come into this space so that we might see you, that we might hear a word from you, that your Spirit might move among us in ways that are both transforming and equipping. Be with us now. Grant us your grace in this hour. In Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Would you join me in affirming our faith through the words that you see? I'll read the opening part and then we'll join together in the remainder of this affirmation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
This morning, as we enter into our time of prayer together, you see the names of persons on the screens who are a part of our congregation, who are worthy of our prayers, so I invite you to remember them. We'll be focusing our attention this morning, though, on remembering those who lost their lives this week in the shooting at the school in Parkland, Florida. So we will begin by lighting the Christ candle. Lighting it as a sign of our need for the light of Christ to infiltrate all of our communities, all of our nation, all of our world. We will be reading the names of those who lost their lives, and then I will offer a prayer on behalf of them and on behalf of us. So would you join me now in prayer? Lift up these names now of your children who are no longer with us in this life, but whose names in your care can never be silenced. Alyssa Aladeth, Martine Duque Anguiano, Scott Beagle, Nicholas Dorette, Aaron Feist, Jamie Gutenberg, Chris Hickson, Luke Hoyer, Kara Lochran, Gina Montalto, Joaquin Oliver, Elena Petty, Meadow Pollock, Helena Ramsey, Alex Schachter, God, it has happened again. The sound of gunfire has invaded one of our schools, terrorizing children and destroying lives. We raise our voices this morning with all who have come before us and have cried out, "How long, O Lord? How long?" We pray this morning that we would not merely cry helplessly, but that our cries would lead to listening, and our listening would lead to discernment, and our discernment would lead to action, the kind of actions that make a way for your peace to enter our violence. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. May we not be so tied to rights and privileges that we are unwilling to change for the sake of our children and all humanity. For as your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has taught us, it is in denying ourselves that we truly find ourselves. We remember once again his call on our lives as we join in his prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In this hour, may we indeed come with humble, thankful hearts before the one who does provide daily bread. And as a sign of our thanksgiving and our faith, we have the opportunity each week in worship to offer gifts back, gifts that become a part of the work that God does through the church today, through ministries that make a difference in the lives of others. Will you pray with me over those offerings? Oh God, we give you thanks for your goodness in our lives, for your faithfulness to us. And now, as we respond in faith through the giving of tithes and offerings, we pray that you will use them for the purposes according to your will and for the transformation of the world. In Christ we pray.
This past Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, we began the season of Lent, the period of 40 days that leads up to Easter, not including Sundays. Those 40 days don't include Sundays because each Sunday is considered a little mini Easter celebration. That means that Steve Price, who gave up coffee for Lent, can have coffee on Sunday. Lent comes from the Anglo-Saxon word lecten, which means spring. And it represents that time of 40 days that Jesus was in the wilderness, the time that he was tempted by Satan and in preparation for his public ministry. And Lent is a time for us of repentance and fasting and preparation. In the ancient church, it was the time of preparation for new converts who were preparing for baptism. And still today, we use this period of time as a time to prepare confirmands to become members of the church. And here specifically members of Trinity. It is a time for all of us to be intentional about giving up something, making a sacrifice in our personal lives, or perhaps the other direction, going deeper in our spiritual disciplines as we grow deeper in our faith. In 2018 for Trinity, the focus is deeper. We're focused on going deeper in our relationships with one another, deeper in our relationship with Christ, and deeper into our understanding of who we are as a church. At this particular time in this community, the first few weeks of 2018, we have looked at our relationships with one another, and now we are shifting to think about how we can go deeper into our relationship with Christ and how we can become more who He is calling us to be. We do that by beginning a series looking at some of the parables and sayings of Jesus that are the most familiar to us. These parables and sayings will help us to think about being more deeply rooted in Christ. This morning we're going to look at a parable, often called the parable of the sower, but it also might be called the parable of the four soils. And as we look at that today, I'll be reading from the Gospel of Mark. That parable is found in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So as I read from Mark, I invite you to follow along with me. Jesus began to teach beside the lake again. Such a large crowd gathered that he climbed into a boat there on the lake. He sat in the boat while the whole crowd was nearby on the shore. He said many things to them in parables. While teaching them, he said, "Listen to this. A farmer went out to scatter seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where the soil was shallow. They sprouted immediately because the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it scorched the plants, and they dried up because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorny plants. The thorny plants grew and choked the seeds, and they produced nothing. Other seed fell into good soil and bore fruit. Upon growing and increasing, the seed produced in one case a yield of 30 to 1, in another case a yield of 60 to 1, and in another case a yield of 100 to 1. He said, "Whoever has ears to listen should pay attention." "Don't you understand this parable?" he said to the disciples. "How then will you understand all of the parables? The farmer scatters the word. This is the meaning of the seed that fell on the path. When the word was scattered and people hear it, right away Satan comes and steals the word that was planted in them. Here's the meaning of the seed that fell on the rocky ground. When people hear the word, they immediately receive it joyfully. Because they have no roots, they last for only a little while. When they experience distress or abuse because of the word, they fall immediately away. Others are like the seed scattered on the thorny plants. These are the ones who have heard the word. But the worries of this life, the false appeal of wealth and the desire for more things break in and choke the word. And it bears no fruit. The seed gathered on good soil are those who hear the word and embrace it. They bear fruit. In one case, a yield of 30 to 1, in another case, 60 to 1, and in another case, 100 to 1. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me invite you, as I do each week, to bow your heads and pray for me in sharing this message with you as I pray for you in this evening. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you can remember a time when one of your parents said something to you and said, "Now listen to me." I remember that phrase quite well. Perhaps that's because I wasn't the best listener always. But I clearly have memories of one of my parents saying that to me. My mother would say, "Now listen to me." And then she would tell me to do something. And then at the end, she would look at me again. And she would say, "Catherine Ann, did you hear me?" Or I can remember my father. We would be driving in the car on a trip. And he would turn around to my sisters and me in the back seat and say to us, "You all quit picking at each other or I am going to stop this car and separate you. Do you hear me?" That's what Jesus is saying to the disciples in this passage today. He says, "Listen to me. Are you listening to me?" He is telling them something very important, and he wants to make sure that they get it. Beginning, he says, "Listen to this." And then to make sure they understand, at the end, he follows up with something along the lines of, "Hey, are you listening to me?" It's his way of saying, this is not just something that should go in one ear and out the other. You need to listen to what I am saying. You need to take it to heart. And then he begins this parable, saying, "A farmer went out to sow seed." Okay, so, you know, no big deal. That would have been a familiar image for them, and for some of us, it's still a familiar image. That is, until he begins to describe how this farmer scatters the seed, then it doesn't sound anything like what we would do today. Because you see, when this farmer sows seed, he seems to throw caution to the wind and just throw the seed anywhere, everywhere. This year for Christmas, I asked for a couple of blueberry bushes. And so on Christmas Eve, while I was here all day, our son Sid planted two blueberry bushes for me in our backyard. Now, he did it all very carefully and intentionally. He measured the pH in the soil and then figured out how to get the pH that was best for blueberry bushes. And he very carefully planted two holes and put them exactly where he wanted those blueberry bushes to be. And they're doing very well, as a matter of fact. But the sower, no, he doesn't plant things carefully at all. In fact, he's almost reckless or wasteful in how he scatters the seed. He lets some of it fall on the path where it can't even take root, and so the birds come and eat it, and it disappears immediately. And he lets some fall on the rocky ground, and there the roots are so shallow that when the sun comes, the plants wither and die. And he lets some fall among the thorns, and although it takes root, when it grows, the thorns choke it out, and it's not able to produce any fruit. And then some falls on the good soil. Isn't that how it is with God? God scattered seeds of grace, basically with reckless abandon. It seems that God is not careful or intentional at all, but instead almost wasteful. God extends grace to everyone, whether they are receptive or not. Not knowing if that grace will take root or not. We call that prevenient grace. The grace that is freely given to all of us before we decide if we are even ready to receive it. So perhaps the question for us this morning is, what kind of soil will we be? What kind of soil will you be? What kind of soil are you? Are you like the impervious path that the seed can't even begin to take root in? Are you totally resistant to God's grace in your life? Are you the one who wants to shut God completely out and you're only here because you're trying to appease your friend or your spouse? Are you the soil where nothing can take root? Or perhaps you're the rocky soil. The grace of God takes root in your life, but it's very shallow and in a non-lasting way. So as soon as something bad happens, the sun scorches, you turn away from God. You'll accept God's grace only if everything else in your life is rosy. Or you'll be a follower of Christ until the next new shiny thing comes along and takes you in another direction. Your faith is shallow and short-lived. Or maybe you're the soil that's covered with thorns. The grace of God takes root in you, as Jesus says, but the worries of this life, the false appeal of wealth, and the desire for more things chokes it away. You want to be a follower of Christ, but you're not ready to be all in. Jesus said we can't serve both God and mammon. But that lesson is hard learned, especially here in America. Why? Because it's hard for us to imagine that our faith could ever be at odds with our American values and lifestyle. But it can. And it does. Whether we are politically on the left or on the right, the thorns of this society can so easily choke our faith and paralyze us to action and involvement. So what kind of soil are you? Are you the soil with no roots? Are you the soil with shallow roots? Are you the soil with roots, but no fruit? Are you the good soil, with roots that go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous world? What kind of soil are you? Let me tell you a story about a man named Dan. Dan and his wife Donna were friends with Debbie and Jerry. And Debbie and Jerry were a part of the church where Steve and I served at one time. And Debbie, a member of the church, asked Donna to come to a Bible study. And Donna came, and it was in that Bible study I can clearly remember her saying to me that she cared so deeply about her husband, but that he was a staunch atheist. She said he wanted to have nothing to do with faith, nothing to do with Christians. He didn't even like it when she stood at the sink while she was doing dishes and sang a hymn or a Christian song. Well, at that point, the congregation where we served was worshiping in a gymnasium, and sound was very difficult in this gymnasium. And so Jerry, knowing that Dan was a sound engineer and a gifted musician, asked if he would come to church just one Sunday, to help us think about sound. And so Dan came, but he was very clear that he was not listening. So he came that one Sunday, and then at the end of that day, he volunteered to come back the next Sunday. Just one more Sunday to help work out any glitches, you know? And then at the end of the second Sunday, he said, you know, I don't mind helping you out with sound on an ongoing basis. I'll come every week and do sound. But just know that I am not listening. And he even volunteered to come at 6:30 in the morning and help us set up sound in the gym, which we had to do every week. Because, you know, if the wires weren't run right, then we could have some problems. Well, then one Sunday after, I think it was before worship, he said to me, Catherine, would you mind praying for my cousin? She's been diagnosed with cancer. And I said, oh, I would be happy to do that. And then I couldn't resist. I said, does that mean you believe in prayer? He said, well, it couldn't hurt. Then a few weeks later, he said something to me after worship about the sermon. And I said, oh, so you are listening. And he said, well, maybe just a little. Then probably 6 months later, he came into the office and he talked to Steve one afternoon. Said, I just wanted to let you know that I've been clean for 2 weeks. And Steve said, oh, what exactly does that mean? And he said, well, until 2 weeks ago, I drank a pint of tequila and smoked pot every day. But 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in my living room, and I was praying, and I felt the presence of God all around me, and the grace of God pour over me, and I decided that I needed to change, and I wanted to be a follower of Christ, and I just thought that I would let you know. Because God used Jerry to recklessly throw seed. So maybe the question for us is not what type of soil we are. Maybe some of us have been different types of soil along the way. And maybe the most important question is, how do we become good soil? What do we need to do to get the right pH balance in our soil? How much manure needs to be spread around us? What does it look like to get the right amount of water and Miracle-Grow? Are we willing to invest the time and the energy, beginning now, beginning with this season of Lent, to go deeper and to experience God's love? You know, when I look at my own life, I can see that there are times when I have had no roots, times when my roots have been shallow and not strong enough to last. And I have had times, more than I would like, when I have allowed the cares and worries of this world, the values of this world, to choke me and block out any action or fruitfulness. And there have been times when my roots have gone down deep into the soil of God's love. And God has produced a ever come. Through it all, in my life and in yours, thank goodness for the extravagant, reckless, and even seemingly wasteful God throwing caution to the wind and indiscriminately scattering seeds of grace in spite of whether it was deserved or valued. And then that seed bears fruit. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Go deeper, to grow roots deep down into the soil of your marvelous love. Help us commit and recommit ourselves to following in your way, to be willing to sacrifice whatever in our life needs to be willing to invest the time and energy, the time for prayer and Bible study and meditation, the time to be in your presence and worship you and walk with you. Today, oh God, help us to commit and recommit to embracing those seeds of grace, growing deep roots and producing fruit. All in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Christ's holy table, the presence of God is all around us. At Christ's holy table, we experience the extravagant and the indiscriminate love and grace of God. Christ uses this table to draw us who have come from different spaces and places this morning, from all around our city, into this room, and then to draw us closer still as we gather. Christ draws us closer to himself, draws us closer to one another. And part of the beauty of the mystery of this table is that we don't just gather here with the spiritual presence of Christ and standing shoulder to shoulder with one another. We gather with the communion of saints. This morning as we gather at this table, we will be gathered with the 17 souls whose names were read aloud. We will gather with our brothers and our sisters in Parkland who are grieving today. We will gather with Christian brothers and sisters all around the world during this Lenten season seeking to go deeper in their faith. We gather to remember that Christ took a loaf of bread, gave thanks to his Father in heaven, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to his Father in heaven, offered the cup to the disciples, saying, "Take, drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so we pray, Almighty God, that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make it be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at your heavenly banquet table. Through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your holy church, we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are helping us serve communion this morning to please come and help us make the meal ready. As they make their way to the stations, let me just tell you that in the United Methodist Church, the communion table is an open table. All are welcome to be here. All come to receive the grace that God has for us this morning. We serve by way of intinction, which means we will tear off a piece of bread, place it into your open hand, and then you're invited to dip it in the cup to receive the elements together. If gluten-free is a need that you have, we have a station here and here. Just let us know when you come forward. We invite you to make your way from the front, working our way to the back, exiting the road to the left, and then turning to the right, coming to the station nearest to your section. But please come, for all is ready. We bless. amazing love and unfailing grace, we thank you for gathering us together at your table and providing nourishment for our souls. May we receive the nourishment of your love and your grace to be instruments of your peace in the world. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join me in singing our closing hymn. Before you go, I want to invite you to stop by a table on your way out, a table in the narthex. The General Conference is the decision-making body for the United Methodist Church, and in 2016, our General Conference passed a resolution to end gun violence, and that resolution is copied for you out on the back table, and perhaps looking at that is a way for you and for us as a congregation to discern what kind of next steps we might take as followers of Christ. I also want to invite you during the season of Lent to come and join me again in the chapel. I'll be there every Tuesday afternoon from 5 to 6, and I invite you to join me in silent prayer as we pray for community of Trinity, for our community and for our world. And now may you go out and may God work through you to scatter seed indiscriminately. And may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love as you experience the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.